Now, London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK, London's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
When light beer was produced, people drank more, of course. When we cut the sugar out of soft drinks, people swilled a great deal more of the low-cal beverages. When we cut the fat out of foods, people gorged themselves on low-fat, no-fat foods to the extent of ushering in the current obesity epidemic.
Do you follow the logic? Do you follow the logic? Yeah, you understand why we annoy the London Middlesex or the Middlesex London Health Unit so often. Because so many of the assumptions we make about what we put in our mouths are simply wrong. And we're out to slay another sacred cow this morning, and that is the strong belief that if you eat more salt, you're going to die sooner. The big lie about salt is what we're talking about this morning, of the fascinating new report in the New York Times. And we welcome your calls, as we always do in our health segment, and all our segments, by the way, but especially in our health segment on Thursday morning. What's the truth about salt? What is the truth about salt, and how much salt we should consume? Some time ago, we were joined by Morton Satin, Vice President, Research and Development of the Salt Institute, and he did a kumbaya on the issue of salt, saying, wait a minute, all these warnings about how quickly you're going to die and how your blood pressure is going to go through the roof if you put salt on your bacon and eggs are just not true. They're just not based on science. And now we have a very interesting report in the New York Times with the headline, "No Benefit Seen in Sharp Limits on Salt in Diet." No benefit seen. Wait a minute. Doesn't that go against everything that we have heard about salt? No benefit seen in sharp limits on salt and health? Let me just read you a couple of paragraphs from the story, and then we'll be joined by Morton Satin, or Morton Satan, as I'm sure some are calling him, those who have been warning about the serious side effects of having too much salt. In a report that undercuts years of public health warnings, a prestigious group convened by the U.S. government says there is no good reason, based on health outcomes for many Americans, to drive their sodium consumption down to the very low levels recommended in national dietary guidelines. Those levels, a little more than a half a teaspoon of salt, or 1,500 milligrams of sodium a day, were supposed to prevent heart attacks and strokes in people at risk, including anybody older than 50, blacks, and people with high blood pressure, diabetes, or chronic kidney disease, groups that make up more than half of the American population. Some influential organizations, including the American Heart Association, have said that everyone, not just those at risk, should aim for that very low sodium level. The Heart Association reaffirmed that position in an interview with its spokesman on Monday, even in light of this new report. Joining us this morning is Morton Satin. Good morning, Morton.
Good morning. How are you?
And did you put lots of salt on your bacon and eggs this morning?
No, well, I only put as much as I normally take. But it's really rather interesting that you ask, because that's what I did have for breakfast.
Well, very, very interesting. Pam would be proud of you. Now, let me ask you this. What is, before we get to the truth, what is the big lie about consumption of salt and how it affects your health?
Oh, there are several, Andy. The biggest lie is, number one, that we're consuming more salt now than we ever have, and that's simply not true. All the historical records show that up until the end of the Second World War, we consumed about twice as much salt as we do now, and that's because all our foods were preserved in salt. And when we switched over after the war to refrigeration as the main means of preservation, our salt consumption, without any campaigns of any kind, our salt consumption naturally went down to the level that it is now at. It dropped in half. And again, without anybody's urging, the consumers simply gravitated to a fresher food supply. We didn't need as much salt. So that's number one. We're not eating more salt now than we ever did. We're in fact eating less. If anybody thinks that modern processed foods have more salt then the old traditional foods that we've been eating for centuries and that are now considered gourmet foods, all the best foods that we know, our hams, etc., our bacons, our cheeses, were all preserved in salt. Now we have dropped very significantly from that original level, but we have dropped to a level back in 55, 56, and remained that way. In other words, our natural wisdom, our body's wisdom, is telling us that this is roughly the amount of salt we have to eat. And that's lie number one, that we're eating more salt than before. The second lie is that, these regulators believe that their opinions can trump natural physiology. And that's not true. I mean, we eat what we are required to eat. And in this particular case, the standards that were set, and we have always said this, the standards for salt consumption that were set were not based on evidence. They were based on the opinion of a few people. And we did not feel that that was a basis upon which to make recommendations. If anything, we should be making recommendations based on clinical evidence, which we simply didn't have. Interestingly, in this report, although it says that the low limits, the 1,500, are of no value, and contrary to that, may increase the risk for a wide range of people, what is hidden in the report, which nobody has sort of paid attention to, on page 20 of the report, it says very, very clearly that the original recommendations were not based on evidence. There was insufficient evidence to make all the original recommendations that every public health agency around the world had adopted, number one, and number two, that has been so vigorously and emotionally defended by all these anti-salt advocates. It says right in this document that the original data upon which these recommendations were made, it was not evidence, it was essentially opinion cobbled together by a small group of people.
What do you say, Morton, that we have been fed systematically and over a long period of time by so many health officials a big lie about the health effects of salt?
Well, you know what? I won't call it a lie. I would call it perhaps an untruth. I know I'm parsing words over here, Andy. But what they essentially said was they said two things, but they allowed the consumer to connect the dots. They said that reducing salt will reduce blood pressure. And they followed that with, and of course you know, that reducing blood pressure will reduce cardiovascular disease. They never said reducing salt will reduce cardiovascular disease. They allowed the consumer, based on the consumer's limited perspective on this matter, to make that connection. And that was very duplicitous. That's number one. Number two, when they talked about reducing blood pressure by reducing salt, they never told the public that, number one, that reduction really affected only some people, far more than others, and those were people with hypertension, and those were people that were salt sensitive. Now, anybody that has hypertension who takes hypertension medications will not have this reduction effect. That's number one. Number two, the amount of the reduction that they talked about was minimal. It was like from 2 to 6 points of systolic blood pressure. Well, if you're up at 170 and you drop between 2 and 6 points, so you're not even down at 160 again, you're far better off taking medication.
So, Morton, what are you saying about the effects on our health of salt? What I hear you saying is different people react differently, and we can't have one simple warning or solution for everybody.
Precisely. Precisely. There isn't one solution for everybody. Everyone has their own needs. I mean, that's the definition of an individual. We have our own needs for many things, including our micronutrients, such as salt. And as a matter of fact, it's really interesting. Just last week, there was published a paper from the University of Virginia. The researchers there have come up with a method, a very rapid method, of determining which people are salt sensitive. Now, this has eluded us for a couple of decades because we couldn't really tell people who were salt sensitive. It was a very, very long analysis. But they have come up with a very, very quick analysis that can be done simply in a laboratory. So now there's absolutely no justification for a population-wide approach to salt consumption, because in fact now we can pinpoint who really needs it. So why would you put the entire population on a salt reduction regime, which has negative effects, by the way? It's not just a matter of a few people reducing their blood pressure, but as it happens, people all of a sudden, when they're put on low salt diets, start to develop insulin resistance. I mean, you have to balance everything. It's not just one surrogate measure you're looking for. It's overall health that you want. So there's no justification any longer for population-wide salt reduction.
Okay, so people are asking, who are listening to this morning, they're saying, okay, Morton, so different people respond differently. How do I know if I am one of those salt-sensitive people?
Ah, okay. First thing you have to do is you have to go to your own physician if you're concerned. If you have blood pressure, take the physician's recommendations. And I suppose in most cases the physician will recommend taking anti-hypertension medication. Excuse me. In some cases, they may also say to drop your salt. Well, that's what your physician says. Your physician knows you. He asks you your family history. He treats you as an individual. That's what people should do. Now, this new test, of course, has just come out of research. It was just published. It'll probably be a few years before it's out in the general public, but it's not a costly test, and that is probably going to be the best way for individuals to tell whether they're salt sensitive or not. But in the meantime, one has to go to his or her physician. Don't take anything for granted. I mean, we're not all this homogeneous mass of people. We're all individuals. We all have our individual needs.
So let me give you the case of an individual. I have a friend who loves to barbecue. And he was telling me recently he had some folks over. And teenagers, of course, put ketchup on everything. And this particular teenager reached for the ketchup. And my friend Rich said to him, "You touch that ketchup bottle, I'm going to have to kill you." I have used that same line on one of my sons who put salt on everything. And doesn't even taste food. He just automatically, he just loves salt. And I've said to him, "You reach for the salt, I'm going to have to kill you." He's a healthy boy, just married. Should I have any concerns?
If he's healthy, you shouldn't have any concerns. Of course you shouldn't have any concerns. If he's getting high blood pressure, he should see a doctor about blood pressure. Get himself analyzed for blood pressure. Not enough people have been analyzed for blood pressure, and take the doctor's advice. But no, I don't think he should change his dietary habits based on someone else's opinion, particularly if he's healthy.
I want to cover a lot of territory in about the 3 or 4 minutes we have left. Are we suffering from something you would describe as a huge salt phobia?
Absolutely. And this has really been promulgated by a number of public health institutes and anti-salt advocates who really only know one thing, and that is how to misinform people and promote fear based on this limited view of blood pressure or hypertension, rather.
Okay, so the negative, and this is what disturbed me about what you just said, this salt phobia, this fear that we have in our society of salt, this panic every time we see soup because we're reminded of all the warnings about all the sodium in soup, this fear is having negative health side effects. Morton, what are they?
Some of the negative health side effects would be the development of insulin resistance. In the case of older people, it may in fact lead to dehydration, because if you don't keep up with your body's requirement for salt, you will lose your sense of thirst. and you won't be drinking enough. There have been reports on loss of cognition of in the elderly, of falls, the levels of falls and hip breakages in institutions like nursing homes is much higher than in the public, because all the people that are there are put on low salt diets. There is a number of reports showing metabolic syndrome. And most interestingly, anybody who has had a heart attack before or congestive heart failure who is put on a low-salt diet, all data indicates that people on low-salt diets, those individuals on low-salt diets, die or are readmitted to hospital in much greater numbers than those that are on regular salt diets.
Of course, when you scare people about a product, then there are other products that jump into the void. There are a number of salt alternatives. I've seen one recently. It's pink salt, which took me a little while to get used to. I think it's called Himalayan salt.
Right. It's rock salt from the Himalayas. The pink color. I mean, most salts have some tinges of color. And particularly solar salt develops bacteria that are very highly colored in the process, and sometimes that color transfers to the salt. But it's a rock salt. We don't recommend the use of rock salt for foods simply because it's not as pure as the table salt, and food grade salt really has to be a minimum of 97%.
What salt would you recommend?
I would recommend the salt that's on the shelf, any decent quality sea salt. Fact is that, there's a huge variety of salts available. They have different tastes and textures in particular applications. If you put them on eggs, you'll appreciate it. But if you put a very fancy sea salt in a beef stew with all the other ingredients, you'll never notice the difference. You have to put a little bit of perspective into it.
Morton, I once went to an event at the Pontiac Silverdome. I don't even hardly remember the event. I just remember that I got an American pretzel, and I almost spit out the first mouthful because it was loaded with salt. Now you're telling me, maybe it tasted bad, but it probably didn't hurt your health at all.
Oh, no, I don't think there's any. We have no information saying it hurt your health, and it obviously wasn't your preference. And if the company making that pretzel had a lot of customers like you, they'd be very wise to reconsider the level of salt they're putting in their pretzel.
Okay, we have to wrap it up. Just put all this in a little box and put a little bow on it. What is this new report, and what does it say?
This new report basically says that the recommendations that have been made and that all our public health agencies have been following dogmatically for the last 10 years is not valid. It is not based on proper scientific evidence. People should, in fact, trust their own senses. In terms of how much salt they should be eating, and if they have any doubt, they should check with their physician.
And bottom line, you're saying pepper your food with salt?
Right. Yes, I do. If that's what you prefer. We never make recommendations of how much salt people should eat, but you should eat that amount of salt that makes the food savory for you and makes it taste good.
Well, like Pam,
especially on vegetables and salads, because that's what we have to eat more than anything.
Like Pam Colleen, you're annoying a lot of people because you're going against the grain. For what sector of the nutritional experts out there are you not the great Morton Satin, but the great Morton Satan?
Well, in terms of experts, there are very few experts in nutrition that would disagree with what I just said. You don't hear very many experts in nutrition saying that there is a problem with salt in our diet. What you do hear are a lot of anti-salt advocates that are involved in the areas of blood pressure.
Morton, I have to ask, we have seconds left. Where can people get more information about Morton Satan and his views on salt?
Oh, you can always check on the Salt Institute website. That's www.saltinstitute.org.
Well, you certainly have shaken us all up this morning with your views on salt. We appreciate your time, Morton. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Terrific. 10:30 news update. On the other side of the news update, a chat with Uncle Lloyd. Lloyd Robertson, Canada's favorite anchorman, even long after he hung up his mic. We'll be back with Lloyd in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
The Nexus of London.
Every day I walk through our showroom and wonder why I see so many new faces. Could it be?